coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by DuBois Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DuBoisElectric.com. Also brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com, and remember, the party starts at Rupers.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by the writer, director, and music director for the Lewiston, Auburn Community Little Theater production, A New Home. Paul Karen joins us this morning. How are you, Paul?
I'm well, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, and I know you're a big fan of getting up very early in the morning.
Oh, yes.
So we so appreciate that. We are going to talk to Paul all about A New Home and so much more coming up here in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Wednesday, October 15th.
The Sun Journal reports that St. Dom's is moving all K-8 classes from Lewiston to Auburn. The former Holy Cross School in Lewiston will close and move to the Auburn campus of St. Dominic Academy in January of 2026. To facilitate the move, students will have an extra week of vacation during Christmas break and return to school on January 12th in Auburn.
Governor Mills has officially announced her run for a seat in the U.S. Senate. She joins 8 other Democratic candidates in the race to unseat Senator Susan Collins. Mills said, quote, "Susan Collins is not standing up to Donald Trump. I've stood up to bullies all my life, and I will continue to stand up to bullies in D.C. for the sake of Maine people."
The city of Auburn will hold a public meeting to discuss the Turner Street and Denison Street safety project. Work will include new pavement, a raised crosswalk, speed tables, and striping. The meeting is scheduled for October 23rd at 5:30 at the Auburn Senior Community Center at 48 Pettingill Park Road.
And Instagram has introduced new protections for teen accounts, which will only allow users to see content that's similar to what they might see while watching a PG-13 rated movie. Teens also will not be able to follow accounts that regularly post adult content. The new restrictions automatically apply to Instagram users under 18. Now it's time for the weather, and I'm so happy that Paul's here, because we have someone who's made a career in music.
I'm very nervous for him to hear this
and
song.
And we get to
Don't
play.
Think he's going to like it.
We get to play our jingles for him, and I can't wait to hear his reaction. Here's our weather jingle, Paul.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love. You're never going to cast me in anything ever again, are you?
I'm dumbfounded.
Oh, no.
Is that good or bad?
It's bad.
Oh.
Well, I just like that.
Yes, you see, he knows.
He knows.
It's like, how do I finish this song?
I can't find the right chord for the note that I'm currently
so
on.
Funny that you mentioned that, because that's the one thing that bothers Sarah about that jingle. And in my mind, I'm like, no one is ever going to notice. But of course, Paul notices.
Yeah, you noticed. Of course you did. Let's talk about the weather.
Let's do that.
A mixture of sun and clouds today. We'll have a high of 58 and a low of 43. Cloudy tomorrow with a high of 51 and a low of 40. And sunny on Friday with highs approaching 60.
In sports, how about them Maine Nordiques?
Yeah.
The Nordiques scored 3 shorthanded goals and came back from a 2-0 deficit to beat the New Hampshire Mountain Kings 6-2. The Nords now head to New York to take on the Elmira Aviators on Friday and Saturday.
The NA3 Nordiques will host the New Hampshire Junior Mountain Kings today at noon at Norway Savings Bank Arena in Auburn.
Bates College men's soccer and the University of Southern Maine played to a 2-2 tie. Bates field hockey will visit the University of New England tonight at 6, and women's soccer will host USM tonight at 7.
And Central Maine Community College women's soccer beat UMaine Augusta 7-0. CM women's volleyball lost to Southern Maine Community College 3-0. And CM men's soccer will host York County Community College tonight at 6 p.m. in Auburn.
That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is
sweeping
the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. That one's considerably better, yes?
Yes. I'm impressed with your ukulele playing.
Oh, thank you.
That is the total package right there. That is peak jingle for us.
McDonald's will be knocking on your door.
Oh, boy.
Let's take a look at FPBs for October the 15th, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. There's not much going on here.
No.
I'll forewarn you.
It's pretty quiet.
TV chef Emeril Lagasse is 66 years old today.
Is he the BAM guy?
He's that guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the BAM guy. He wants to kick it up a notch. Every recipe, you got to kick it up a notch. And let's see, rounding out FPBs, boy, that one quick,
yeah.
For October the 15th is actor Larry Miller,
aww,
who is 72 years old today.
I know that guy.
He's the kind of actor where you can't really place him by name, but once you see his face, you're like, oh, he's been in everything.
I know that guy.
Yeah. He was in Mad About You.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Boston Legal, The Nutty Professor, Princess Diaries.
I remember him from Pretty Woman. He was a shop owner.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your FPBs.
That's it.
That's it. Usually we have more. We have like 5 or 6, but not today.
Not today.
We have 2 C-listers in FPBs. Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
I didn't write that one.
That sounds like School of Rock.
Yeah, that's Mark that wrote that one.
School of Rock. I'll take that as a compliment. I was telling Sarah that that's what happens when you leave me at home alone with recording equipment. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it happened.
Just happened, yeah. Let's see here. 26 years ago in 1999, Fight Club was released.
Shh.
Unfortunately, that's all we can say about that, because the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
You can't talk about it. You can't even talk about when it was released. What were you thinking?
Oh, I forget I brought it up. Edit that. 32 years ago, this one's for you, Mark, in 1993, Rudy was released, starring Sean Astin as underdog Daniel Rudy Rudiger, who dreams of playing football for Notre Dame.
And he did.
Five foot nothing.
5 foot nothing.
100 and nothing.
100 and nothing. That movie made me cry. But it doesn't anymore ever since I found out 99% of it is crap.
Isn't real.
It never happened. So... based on a true story. There's a lot of leeway there,
I've learned. Yeah. 35 years ago in 1990, Mikhail Gorbachev was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his role in bringing the Cold War to an end.
All right.
That's all right, right?
Yeah.
74 years ago in 1951, I Love Lucy premiered on CBS, one of my mother's favorite shows when I was a kid. It ran for 6 seasons, then returned for another 3 seasons as the Lucy and Desi Comedy Hour.
What a legend.
Legend.
Lucille Ball is.
Absolutely. And 165 years ago, in 1860, 11-year-old Grace Bedell of Westfield, New York, wrote presidential candidate at the time, Abraham Lincoln, a letter suggesting he would look better if he grew a beard. So he did.
Wow.
On the suggestion of an 11-year-old child.
Yeah.
You know what your face needs? Mr. Abraham Lincoln, a beard.
Needs to be covered up by hair. That's what your face needs.
You got a weird face, is what she was trying to say. Kids will say the darndest things.
Where did they get pictures of him anyway? I mean, see.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she saw him in public?
No. Yeah, maybe it was a drawing or something.
He sat for a portrait.
That's right.
She saw
it. Yeah. 1860.
Yeah, it's 165 years ago. So that's
maybe
that's
someone that described his face to her.
And she was like, oh, that sounds terrible. Yeah. He needs a beard.
That guy needs a beard. Yeah,
that would be better.
Well,
maybe she said beer.
Could be. Wow, yeah. Pretty good for this early in the morning, Paul.
I know.
That's you.
That's I'm done. Right. We'll see you later.
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Those are your FPBs and OTDs.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. Have a code word with family for emergencies. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
We shift focus fully to our guest in studio, Paul Caron. We are talking about a new home today, which opens on October 30th, which is just over 2 weeks away. Yep. You ready?
Yes.
How you feeling?
We're feeling pretty good. We are having run-throughs, and we're almost done at the Community Little Theater. That's where we are rehearsing, but the show is going to move this weekend to Lewiston Middle School. Mm-hmm. And so we're just starting to pack up, getting ready to move the set pieces and put them together over there this weekend.
What was the deciding factor in moving over there instead of doing the performance at CLC?
26-piece orchestra.
Oh, goodness me.
Because what? 26 pieces on the CLT stage would mean no actors.
There's no room for no anybody else.
Enjoy the music, everyone.
Yeah.
We do not have a ukulele, though. Just saying.
Well, I've got a couple of days to learn some songs,
I guess.
There
you go.
So that was the deciding factor. We have a cast of 31, and to put all of that on a larger scale was important. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we were generously loaned Lewiston Middle School Theater.
Oh, wow.
And so for the next 2.5 weeks, we'll be there preparing, and that's where the shows will be.
What I find to be really interesting about this show, Paul, is it originally came out in 1995.
Yes.
Oh.
30 years ago.
Yes.
If memory serves. Under the title Lewiston, A New Home. The word Lewiston has been dropped for this this performance. Why is that?
Well, it was Lewiston, A New Home 30 years ago. That was the bicentennial year for Lewiston. And I was asked to write the music and the lyrics for that show. And the book was based on Lewiston's history. There was discussions of when this opened up, when Peck's department store opened up, when the Empire Theater opened up. So that was basically the story. And later on, as time went on, of course, with the show ended in 95, so now we have new Mainers, and we've had the tragedy of a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So those are new stories that need to be added in. But the key thing was we did a concert version in 2006, and after the show, an Asian man came up to me, and he's from Japan, and he said, "This is my story." And it struck me that it doesn't necessarily have to be Irish and French, but it's all different types of communities, but it's also different types of cities. This could be the city of Biddeford, Waterville. If you go to New Hampshire, to Massachusetts, like Fall River, and Lowell, Lawrence. Yeah. So it's mill towns, but it doesn't have to be a mill town. It can be where there was an industrial type of main employer that attracted a lot of different types of people from different cultures. And that's what Lewiston is. And I just thought, now it's time to modernize the story, and it's everybody's story, so that's why it's a new home. We don't mention the word Lewiston in the script of the show at all. We do have it mentioned 3 times in song. And the last song is called Lewiston and Me, so that's like the anthem. It is the official anthem of Lewiston, by the way.
Oh.
And you wrote it.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Incredible.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you take us back 30 years ago and tell us a little bit about Lewiston, A New Home, and how it was received here?
Lewiston, New Home was originally, the book was written, the book is a script. So that was written by Richard Martin, Michael Rosenthal, and Lynn Geiger. I wrote the music and the lyrics, and again, it was about a Irish and French couple, and we followed their story and what happened in Lewiston from the time of in the 20th century, basically. And it was well received. It was very popular. It was shown on one weekend in September/October weekend. It was September 28th, 1995. We just noticed that a couple of weeks ago that it's 30 years ago tonight that it opened.
Wow.
It opened at Lewiston Middle School. And the crowds grew bigger for that weekend. It was just four shows. And then we had a revival of the show in February of 96, and that was also well received. It was submitted to the New England Theater Conference, and it won an award for Best Original Community Little Theater, a Community Theater Award. Later on, Mayor John Jenkins proclaimed it the anthem of the city. That was around 96, 97. So it was well received. People talked about it a lot. And there was a CD. We made a CD, an original cast album. That's when CDs were popular. We had audio tapes as well. I dusted off a box of those the other day, and I brought it to the rehearsal, and the kids, I call them kids because they're all younger than me, but they grabbed the CDs and said, "Oh, this is cool. I want a cassette tape. Do you have a player?" No, but...
You have to get those on eBay now.
Yeah, right.
Probably the only place you can get them.
My dad has an 85 Chevy. Okay, you might have a tape player in there. Next, make sure it's not an 8-track tape.
Right.
So it was well-received, and people throughout the years would say, "When are you doing it again? When are you doing it again?" And so that's the basics of the story. I took the book and I changed it, and I made it more about the characters rather than the city. And that's what's different about this particular version.
Having one of your songs named the anthem of a city is a pretty big deal. You kind of just gloss over that, but that's a pretty big deal, especially when someone of John Jenkins's caliber announces that. What was that like for you? Did he meet with you beforehand?
Oh, he was a big promoter of this show, and of course, he was a big promoter of Lewiston, both, and he was mayor of Auburn as well later on. But at the time, this was like he just loved it, and he even went on stage before a show to be one of the just give the announcements. And I met him and talked about it before the show. But then when the show came out, there's a newspaper article about the opening night. And he's quoted as saying that he just loves it. Can't wait for the CD. And he remembers the last song, which was Lewiston and Me. And he said, I was going home humming it. And I said, that's pretty cool, because you hear a song just once and you already have it as an earworm, a good earworm, I will say. Because we had won the award, the city gave a commemoration of some type. I still have the plaque in my office at the college. And from then, the mayor voted to have song made it the anthem of the city. And it sort of just disappeared. And it's like, I have to remind people, you know, this song is anthem. We have records of it in the city council files. I don't remember the exact date. I should find that out. Maybe at least the next 2 weeks, so I can at least sound half intelligent when I say that. I'm not making this stuff up. It really is out there.
We're going to start playing it on the show.
Yeah, before the show starts, we will now play the anthem.
Bring us a CD. Yeah.
You're going to have to learn how to sing it.
Oh, yeah. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever heard it. So
you never got the CD. I should have brought one.
I never got the CD. Oh, I'm sorry.
I've got tons of them at home. Of course, we thought we'd be like really popular and stuff, but I knew at the time. It was a person with me who was a member of the cast who was the producer of the CD, and this was just the edge of the digital age, just coming in. So we recorded it analog, but then we put it on digital format, and Scott Adair, the late, great Scott Adair, was the one who put it all together. And it was pressed in Waterville. It used to be a place in Waterville you could press CDs. And so we went up there to get the box, and then we sold them locally. Carol's Music Mart, I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
And it was one of our bigger salespeople, because I had bought the keyboard there to write the songs. And so they were very supportive, and some other places. So we sold out our first batch. And Scott says, "Oh, we need another one." I said, "I'm not sure about that." Yeah. So we ordered a couple more boxes or cases along with cassette tapes. And I said, "You know, people aren't using cassette tapes except old people." He said, "Oh, no, we'll get them." And that's why I still have a couple of boxes in my cellar that my wife has said, "When are you getting rid of these things?" Yes. And I thought I should have got rid of two today.
See? Oh, man.
Can we play that song on this podcast? Can we include it at the end? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, sure.
All right,
yeah,
great.
Sure.
Awesome. As a special treat to this episode, be sure to stay tuned until the very end, and we will play that song for you. I'm excited about that. The timing of the release of these performances is significant, all with it being the 2-year anniversary of the October 25th tragedy of 2023. Was that intentional?
No, I won't say it is. It was just a matter of the timing of when the orchestra would be available, the space would be available, and also in the timeline of CLT's season. And then when we found out that it's close to, we opened on October 30th, and the tragedy happened October 25th. It was not meant to be like, oh, then let's do something special. We already knew we were going to write a song to commemorate that particular event. So that was just a good coincidence.
Universe.
Yes, it just happened to be that way. So it works out that, well, there's a lot that goes into that song. It's called One More Goodbye. And it's written in the song is about the victim singing to the family. So we have 18 people on stage. They represent the victims. And they're saying,
oh, wow.
We have no regrets. We're in another place. It's really like telling the people to talk to their kids. And the only thing we regret is that we wish we had one more goodbye. And that's the song. So because also there was a large community of the deaf community that passed away, we're also using American Sign Language to sign the song as we sing it.
Well, that's lovely.
So it's so that's kind of special. Yeah. We got a grant from the Maine Arts Foundation to support that because we're also having two performances with ASL interpreters.
Oh, wow.
On the side. So because we've invited the deaf community to come to see and hear the show with sign language. So that happens to be like a poignant time because it brings back memories of 2 years ago at this time we were in lockdown. We were questioning what happened and so on. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on in that particular song. The show is chronological, so it happens towards the end of the show. Mm. It's a quiet moment. And I really wanted to emphasize quietness because especially with the deaf community, what it must have been like to just not hear anything and just what is going on. So it's a solemn song, but I think it's going to affect people in a good way.
There's another song in this performance that is, I'm sure it's near and dear to you because it's about the love of your life.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that one?
Mm. Well, back in, I'll say it's called, it's in the Pal Hop. In the 1960s, for a few years, there was something called PAL, Police Athletic League, Hop. And it was a Friday night dance at the Lewiston City Hall that was on the third floor. And it was big. There's some pictures on, if you go online at Facebook and just look up Pal Hop, you'll see it looks like hundreds and hundreds of kids. These were teenagers, young kids. And they played, we had local bands play. And a lot of those local bands, like garage bands. And it was from the Beatles. It really was. The Beatles came out and the popularity. So everyone, let's put on a show and put a band together. So we had that in the original production. And I never liked the song that I wrote for that. It just didn't fit. And it's been bugging me for 30 years. My wife, Susan... There we go. I dropped the name of someone.
She did it. You're in there.
I have about 20 more names I'm supposed to drop off. Yeah,
Every time Paul does media, he's supposed to mention everyone in his family and everyone he's ever worked with.
Okay.
I'm not getting anything at Christmas unless I say their names. But Susan, my lovely wife, was a very avid participant in those Pal Hops. And she would go, and she was a little younger than the other kids that went there. But her mother would be her chaperone. And then they'd have balconies in the city hall. So the adult chaperones would be sitting there. And she always, Sue's been talking about that for as long as we've been together, about how that meant so much to her. And she's a great dancer. When I was thinking about how do I incorporate Pal Hop without using that song, that previous song that I just don't like. Mm. The other problem was that now with the Pal Hop, I have to get to 30 years later. And how do I go from 65 to 2015 without writing six more songs and keeping the show about 5 hours long? So the song is called Dancing in Beauty. It's sort of based on Lord Byron's She Walks in Beauty.
That's my favorite poem.
Well, that's one of my favorite too. So I sort of, it's the copyright is over with Lord Byron's poem. So I took Dancing in Beauty, and it's really, Madeline is the lead, and she's now a grandmother, and she's the one chaperoning her young granddaughter, Susan. And she watches her dance, and it just becomes her alone. It was a group of kids, and they sort of filter away, so it's just Susan on stage. And then she sings a song called Dancing in Beauty. She watches her grow up, and she sings about her becoming a young lady and a beautiful woman. And so it's balletic, and it's one of my favorite songs now. Yeah. And it's because of the subject matter. So it's subtitled Susan's Song.
Oh.
So that's for the love of my life.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
What can you tell us about the cast? Because I know there's a lot of CLT favorites in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, there are, and some of Sarah's favorites too.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. We have Janelle Raven is Madeline, which is the lead of the show, and the co-lead as well is Justin Morin. He plays Donovan. Madeline is set in the early 20th century, so Madeline is from a French-Canadian family. Donovan is from an Irish family. There were quite a bit of head knocking in those days. My dad grew up, my dad Noel, there we go, dropped off his name.
Check.
Yeah. He grew up on Park Street in Lewiston, and on Knox Street in Lewiston were the Irish. And he would say there would be always these fist fights and arguments and things like that. So it's part of a new community coming in. And so those are the two leads, and they end up being together.
A little Romeo and Juliet business there.
We have a line. Her great-granddaughter talks about it later on. She says, yes, my great-grandparents met here, Romeo and Juliet, without the poison and the stabbing.
That's important.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't realize it, but have you ever been in the old mill buildings over in Lewiston?
Yeah.
So have you ever noticed walking up some of the stairwells, there's a fleur-de-lis on one side and there's a four-leaf clover on the other, and that is because they couldn't be together. They couldn't work together. They would fight all day.
I did not know
that.
So
they were in separate parts of the mill. So Irish worked on one side and the French worked on the other. Isn't that wild to think about that? Yeah, the Irish were not welcome in Lewiston, Auburn for a very long time.
And then it became the French.
Yeah.
And that's what we start the story, how it's like, those people are here right now and they're taking our jobs and everything. Mm-hmm. And then we move it to 2015 where we have new Mainers coming in. Oh, they're taking our jobs. And one of the things that I like about what's they're saying is they talk about Lisbon Street, and this is back in 1915, and they say, Lisbon Street would be so much better if there were more American stores because the French are now coming in and opening up their own businesses. And that's the same thing that's being said, Lisbon Street. And Lisbon Street was always better in the past. Everyone is romantic about Lisbon Street. Lisbon Street's a commercial street. I worked on Lisbon Street in high school, and I had to walk by all of the social clubs and the riffraff. That's what we call them in those days.
We still call them that.
Hooligans.
Hooligans.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, I like that. Yes.
It's a classic one.
That is a classic one.
One of the goals of the play is that we're going to make it available for future generations if someone wants to redo it or add on. And that's what... Ashley St. Pierre, another one of our favorites, she's the narrator, and she tells the audience, this is your story now, take it, and you can add to it like we did. We added 30 years to the previous story, so further down the road, if they want to add something to it, just make sure you might have to take some things out because the show is going to be an all-day affair someday.
It'll be a weekend event.
That's right.
Paul, what do you want people to feel when they attend this performance?
Some of the things they should feel is that there's a sense of pride in your community. Yes, there are speed bumps, warts. It's not always perfect. But there's the sense of pride of where we came from and the sense of pride of where we can ultimately go, in that someday people will be talking and maybe singing and dancing about our way of life and what we contributed to this city's history. So that's why, and also that we don't have to erase the bad stuff or the stuff that hurts. And that's why we bring up the Irish and French, the New Mainers, and the people who are here. And also the fact that there was a tragedy of immense proportion that occurred in this city just a couple of years ago. Yeah. And 50 to 75 years from now, that they'll still be talked about. And so that's what I would like to see come out of this. That and then maybe like that person who came to me after the concert, this is my story. And we didn't even have a person of your heritage in there, but it's your story. Mm.
Isn't it amazing how that one brief interaction changed everything?
Yes, yes. I relate it to Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof is a show that's been done in almost every country in the world. And I always think that this is a story about a Jewish shtetl and with a pogrom, and they do it in Japanese. They do it in Korean, and people connect to it. And I think that's what made me think that this show could do something on a much smaller scale. It's not Fiddler on the Roof. Mm. It's not worldwide. Mm-hmm. But that's why I took the word Lewiston out. Just a new home for everybody that comes into a city with for whatever reason. It used to be just for economic reasons. Now it can be because you're a refugee. So there are different reasons. And who knows that maybe in 100 years, our current New Mainers will be on the other side of the park bench. That's where it is, on one side of the park bench, and the other part of the new people coming in. There'll be new people coming in, and they'll have to remember how it felt when they entered. Right. We sometimes forget over a long period of time.
Mm. Yeah. You were born and raised in Lewiston.
Yes, right across the river.
Yeah. How would you describe this community to someone who has never lived here?
It's a formerly thriving mill town that has struggled to find a new economic identity. And I think it's become a service-oriented community. So that's the economic way of life. It's very diverse compared to what it used to be. When I grew up, it was very French Catholic, especially across the river. I lived not in Little Canada, but in the gas patch, where there was the big gas tank and the big gas ball, and ready to incinerate us at any time.
Yeah. I know Little Canada. I don't know of this.
This would be on the corner of Locust and Lincoln Street. And so there you go. There's a Google thing for you to do after the
show. Yeah, okay.
But the ball and the gas tank are not there anymore. But it was really a very parochial, and I went to parochial school, St. Mary's School, right next to St. Mary's Church. And so that has changed a lot. Little Canada has changed a lot. But the people who live there have not. The reasons why they live there have not. I used to deliver newspapers, the Lewiston Daily Sun, when we had two newspapers in those days. And that's when they let 10-year-old kids go and deliver newspapers and go up 3-4 flights of stairs down in the tenement buildings. And the people there were either new immigrants working in the mills or having tough times economically. It's similar to that now. It's just there are different people that are there. So I think it's a working class community. It takes a lot of pride in it being the second largest city in Maine. And it's it's becoming a little bit like a bedroom community, especially with COVID, a bedroom community for people who from down south, Portland or even further. And so it's, you know, I'm rambling here, but I think I'm trying to say that it's a community that is basically proud, even though a lot of them complain, don't read the comments. just when you post something on Instagram or Facebook, or you read an article in the newspaper, don't read the comments. Right.
Great advice.
It is really good advice. Yeah.
So, but I think it's a city that's basically proud, and every city has its ups and downs. Every city had a Lisbon Street.
Mm.
Every city had a PEX, PEX department store. And so those are things that I think are common, and that's why the story can relate to other people who come from other cities and say, wow, that's the same as ours.
Yeah. Where does a new home rank as far as your accomplishments in theater?
This is a big one.
Oh, in theater, wow. Because in life, it's finding the right person to be with. So that's the number one.
Yeah.
That's never going to be surpassed. This is up there because it's, in terms of the theater life, it's the creation of the songs, and in this case, it's the revising of the script. I'm proud of that. It's kind of cool to see people enact or act out your lines. And you go, wow, I wasn't thinking of that inflection. I wasn't thinking it that way. And even yesterday there was something, some young high school kid, and he's one of the new Mainers. And he did something on stage that set in 2015 that someone did in 1915, but he did it in a different way, but it connected. And I said, that is exactly what we're trying to do here, is to show that what happened 100 years ago is very similar to what is happening today. And that's kind of a thrill. It's like I had to point it out in front of the other 31 people that I said, Elijah, yeah, there you go. Elijah, I'm calling you out. It was just – and he was never told, and he just took the soccer ball and did whatever had something similar had been done by Dwayne in 1915. Those are little moments that are very exciting because you created that moment. Yeah. But there are a lot of other theater moments, such as School of Rock was kind of fun,
yeah.
With dealing with those 13 kids.
That was crazy.
I directed Fiddler on the Roof a couple of times. And again, that's very – it's similar in terms of the family-oriented type of show and about community. So those are some highlights. I was music director for a show of a chorus line that we brought to Moscow, Russia, back in 1993. It was an exchange program. So that was kind of high. But this is because it's a creative part of it, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Watching something come to life that came out of your mind must be amazing. Like, I can't even imagine what it feels like.
The songs are really, because I would write down in the basement of my house with my own keyboard or piano, and then you just sit I would sit on the couch and I would write lyrics for it. Okay, it doesn't work. I have to go back and forth. Sometimes it takes weeks, a couple of months for the opening number. And then I sent it to Colin Britt. Colin Britt is a former kid that used to hang around with the theater, and the precocious one, and now he's a musical genius. He's a doctor by Colin Britt, and he's my arranger, and he knows the show because he was there as a kid to see it and hear it.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool. So he arranges all of it for the 26 musicians. That's kind of cool because he'll send me the MP3 of what it's. What do you think of this? Like, I was on my piano plunking it out, and now it sounds like this. Then you put it with the voices that you only imagine, because you can't write in community theater. You can't write for a specific person because they audition after the songs were written. So I don't know what kind of voices are in my head. I'm thinking it'd be great if it was this. Mm-hmm. And then a person gets the role, and their interpretation is their own creation. So that's kind of cool for them too, because they're creating a character that they can't go to YouTube and watch what was done on Broadway, right, or in a previous show. They're creating something on their own. So I like that, and it's also a matter of trust on both sides. I trust them to create a character that's full, that's endearing and engaging, and that carries over. And that's why when Elijah did that yesterday, it was like, he gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it. And it's like, that's so cool. I did not think of this back in September of last year when I wrote that line or that particular scene, but he did it.
The Lewiston Auburn Community Little Theater's production of A New Home happens October 30th through November 9th, and start times vary. There are evening and matinee performances. And as Paul mentioned, they will take place at the Lewiston Middle School Auditorium, which is at 75 Central Ave in Lewiston. And for tickets and more info, you can go online to laclt.com. Paul, is there anything else about A New Home that you would like our listeners to know?
Oh, that was one of those questions I wasn't expecting. Something else. Okay, I've been rambling.
Curveballs over here.
Yeah, I've been rambling for a long time. What have I missed? I think one of the things will be the I'm interested in hearing is the talk about it. The work that has gone into it, and I'm not talking about the creation of it, but the work that has gone into it by the staff, by the production crew, by Jennifer, I have to say her name, Jennifer Groover, who is the producer of this show, has been with this project for over a year, and she's the one who's gotten the grants for it. We have $30,000 grant from the Isabella J. Gendron Foundation. We have the Maine Arts Commission. They gave us $7,000, and so we've gotten quite a few hefty grants for this show. So that's, and I want people to realize how much work has gone into it, but the importance of what we're doing for the community. I think that's one of the things I'd like them to get out of this.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
Paul, we like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions, where it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yep.
We just want to get to know you a little better as a member of our community. Mm-hmm. You good with that?
Yes, but she's giggling over there. Like,
well, Sarah...
She started these at 11 o'clock last night.
Sometimes... She prepares. Sometimes they just come out.
They just, yeah, some of them are weird.
You're in your kayak and you go, what can I have him that will...
What's the weirdest thing I could ask?
So I will start. Paul, do you recall the first time that you were moved by music?
Yes. Actually, I can. It's going to sound... This was from radio, WLAM, and then this is the 60s, so... The radio, AM radio, played all types of music, and it was Edith Piaf, and she sang a song called Milord, M-I-L-O-R-D, if it called My Lord, and it was very theatrical, and I was just maybe about 6 years old, that one, because it starts off slow, and she almost, it's a narrated song, and then it goes, dun, dun, and it builds up almost like a big a musical theater number. And I didn't know musical theater that well when I was 5, 6 years old, except to hear the cast album of Sound of Music or something like that. But this was like the first one that really brought me to like, wow, this is cool. I love that song to this day.
Yeah. Mm. And a career was born.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. All right, I have a question. If you had a pet parrot, what would you teach it to say?
Oh, boy. A pet parrot. I'm not a big pet lover, and sorry, folks. It's just something else to take care of. I would say, mind my own business.
You teach your parrot to say, mind your own business.
Yeah, mind your own business. Leave me alone.
I like it.
I can take care of myself.
The parrot's making tea. Mind your own business. Yeah. Getting something out of the refrigerator. Yeah. Mind your own business. You worry about you, Paul. I would love to meet that parrot. Would hope that it would have the attitude to go along with that.
It'd be a short meeting. Yeah. Like, well, he's rude.
That's good.
It maybe I won't stay for coffee.
Yes, I don't want to hang out with that parrot.
All right, Paul, final question. If you could attend any live performance in history and have the best seats in the house, what would it be?
When Beethoven premiered his Symphony No. 9, that's the Ode to Joy one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is special about it to you?
And not only it's a masterpiece, but it's a lot of elements of theater in there. And he's like, it starts off, then bum, 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 dun, 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 and then it goes, it builds up. And one of the different types of things about that symphony is that you have a chorale in it. They sing Ode to Joy. And so that was different, and it's just moving. There's been adaptations of it throughout the years. I don't know, this is going to be maybe for very few in your audience, but ABC used to broadcast the Olympics. And at the end of their run of the 2 weeks, they would highlight a lot of the big moments, and they'd play Ode to Joy. And it was called, I think, Song of Joy. It was a 70s song. It's in Spanish, and it uses Ode to Joy as its premise. And that one always inspires me, too. But it just to be in that audience. But I wonder if people really appreciated that song then. I think they did. And I think they appreciated Beethoven. It's not like Van Gogh, where he became famous after he died, but right. People really loved Beethoven at the time. He was the pop star. So I would imagine that when that came out, knowing what he was going through, a deaf composer here, and it's like, it must have just taken him aback. So just to go there without the previous knowledge of what I'm about to hear, that's the special moment, you know. And that's not, okay, I know Ode to Joy, I'm going to go there. And it's like, hey, everybody, I'm from the future. Hey, he's going to knock your socks off.
Right.
Here. But you would want to not know what was
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I would like to be there. Okay, yeah. Impress me one more time.
Right.
Yeah. And right. I think he would.
That's such a wonderful piece, too. It's just one of those things that connects with your brain, and you actually do feel joyful.
I think it connects with people all across cultures and so on. In fact, when the Berlin Wall came down, I think Leonard Bernstein conducted it with the orchestra there. Yeah. So it's like, that's kind of like, that belongs there.
Yeah. It's in one of my favorite movies, too. When they break into the vault in Die Hard.
Oh, okay.
Is that when he's sneaking in from the
no.
ducts? That everybody can just walk in and crawl in through HVAC ducts.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Don't try this at home, kids.
That's right. Paul, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure.
Thank you, Tom.
We
thank
so you appreciate you.
Yeah.
Just such a valued member of our community, and can't wait to see a new home.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be incredible.
Lots of options.
Yes. Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DuBois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you would like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com. And be sure to stay tuned, folks, because we are going to play the anthem for the city of Lewiston, Lewiston in Maine.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I have bitten my cat.
away.